Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas message, and we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and a special focus on verse 11. You know, what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Well, you know, most people think of parties, gifts, trees, lights, only to come to an empty feeling the very next day. But did you know you can literally have the joys of Christmas come alive forever by focusing on Jesus? That's what the wise men or the magi did. You know, they went a long way to do it, too. So get ready, because we're going to be looking at the wisdom of the Magi. And remember, they were wise because they worshiped Jesus. Praise Jesus. So first we're going to look at how they sought him, and then we're going to look at what they brought him. I'm telling you the truth when I say the wisest choice that any of us will ever make is to follow the wisdom of the Magi and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is, like the song opens every week on this message, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise Jesus. So as believers, let's seek him the way the Magi did, and then bring to him what they brought to him. We're going to uncover some supernatural wisdom today, what I call the wisdom of the Magi. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They came to worship him, praise Jesus. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not least among the princes of Judah, for of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Now, you know, Herod didn't want to worship. He wanted to kill Jesus. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, that King Herod was a bad man, and he really didn't want to worship Jesus, like I said. But notice, twice in this passage, the Magi did, because they were very wise men. Now, there's a lot of details in here that we truly don't know about these wise men, these Magi. Some say there's three, and there's even that song out there that starts, you know, we three men of Orient. But we don't know that for sure. It just says that wise men came. They brought three gifts, but the scriptures never said there were three of them. You know, a lot of people think they rode camels, and you see that in all the nativity scenes. But most ancient historians say they rode Arabian horses. And we aren't even certain where they came from, though it's most likely that they came from Babylon. But we do know one thing for certain, praise God, they were wise men. They were the Magi. They had the wisdom of the Magi. And that's what that term means. It means wise. And they were wise in many ways. You know, they were students of Scripture, the prophets, the sky, but most importantly, because of who they knew. They knew who Jesus was, and they went to him. They sought him out, and they worshipped him. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting to notice that this star is also a little bit of a mystery, the star that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we know many things about this story, and we know some things about the wise men or the Magi and the star, but we don't know everything. You know, some say that star was a supernova or some sort of amazing planetary alignment. But that doesn't make a lot of sense when you stop and think about it, because it had a move to guide them. And others say, well, it was a comet or a meteor. Well, those don't work either, because a comet moves too slowly, and a meteor, it moves too fast. And then others, some specific messianic scholars suggest that this term star has many meanings, and at its root, it means brilliance. So this leads many, including myself, to believe this brilliance was the Shekinah glory of God, praise Jesus. And when you stop and think about it for a minute, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because this happened several other times in the Old Testament. You remember when the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness, following a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night? And that same thing happened when Solomon dedicated the temple. The Shekinah glory of God came into the Holy of Holies, praise Jesus. And then, right before Babylon's invasion of Israel, Ezekiel tells us that the Shekinah glory of God departed from the temple. He said first it moved out of the Holy of Holies across the threshold of the temple, and then it moved from the threshold of the temple to the eastern gate. Then he said he saw the glory as it moved onto the Mount of Olives and went up and disappeared. Wow. So I'm telling you, it's very possible that this star the Magi followed could have been this brilliance. Also remember, the Bible says in Luke 2:9 that the shepherds were in the field and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. You know? So I think it's the Shekinah glory of God that led the Magi to the baby Jesus. And then there's those passages, and you can look these up on your own. Read the passage in Numbers 24:17. Matthew 24:30 and Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. They also kind of allude or indicate similar type of occurrences. So there are some things that are uncertain, but like I said, we know one thing for sure. These were extremely wise men. They were the Magi. And why? Because they sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did they do that? To worship him. Praise Jesus. Now let's get this truth. That's the wisest thing we all can do at Christmas, or any time of the year for that matter. Just worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you want the joys of Christmas without true worship, you're never going to get them. The truth is that without worship, you may have a giddy time, but you're never, ever going to have a joyous time. Now, in contrast, look at these Magi. They were so interested in worshiping Jesus that they did it in spite of great distance, great difficulties, and incredible danger. You know, in verse 1 it says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, just suppose they did come from Babylon. That's nearly 300 miles away. Just imagine that trip back then. Think of the discomfort and the difficulty of a trip like that. You know, no air conditioning, no cars, and they didn't have hotels or restaurants. And on top of it all, that's very rugged terrain over there. But in spite of all this distance and difficulty, they came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it's so sad today, you know, even a minor difficulty keeps so many people out of gathering together to worship Jesus. You know, it could be a storm or even a headache. But I'll notice one thing, that never keeps the fans out of a Steeler game here in Pittsburgh. What's that tell me? Wow. So in addition to this distance and difficulty, remember, they faced a grave danger. You know, there were robbers along the way, but on top of that all, they had to deal with that wicked King Herod, remember? He wanted to murder Jesus, and he had already murdered 3 sons and a few wives. So in spite of this great distance, difficulty, and danger, the Magi came to worship Jesus. I'm going to ask you this. What does worship mean to you? The Bible says, ye shall seek for me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'm just saying, God have mercy upon our half-hearted worship today. Honestly, if Jesus is worth anything, he's worth everything. The word worship means worth-ship. So what does Jesus mean to you? I believe the biggest cult in America today, I mean, there's all kinds of cults, but the biggest cult is the call to the comfortable. We always just want it easy, you know? Just look at these emergent, seeker-sensitive churches of today. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So the point is, some things take all of our heart to achieve. So let's look at how the Magi found Jesus. Let's look at how they saw him. You know, verse 1 says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, 3 things helped the Magi find the Lord Jesus Christ. First, they had the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put that desire in them to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was in their hearts, the very hearts of the Magi. The Bible says that none seeketh after God, no, not one. Now, today there's a lot of people in this church growth movement, you know, this seeker-sensitive thing, the emergent church, who say that we need to have seeker-sensitive services, you know. So these leaders, these people actually think that these seekers are coming on their own to seek God, and we have to accommodate their carnal desires, you know, soft, cushy seats, coffee shops, all these things to make them comfortable in the flesh. That's an appalling sign of their ignorance of the Scriptures. The Bible says no man seeks God. None. Not one. Well, are you thinking, oh, I did. I sought after God. No, you didn't. The only reason you sought him is because he first sought you. That's when God got you. In fact, when he got you, you were running from him, just like me. And the only reason God got you is he can run faster than you and me. Praise Jesus. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Go read it. Paul wrote it to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 11. And then John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Praise Jesus. So it was God who put that desire in the heart of the Magi to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And worship's also a desire planted on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you today, God is seeking you. And how do I know that? Because the Bible teaches the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says Christ is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I tell you with his authority that Jesus is seeking you today. And I don't believe it's incidental or accidental that you're listening to this message. Jesus is seeking you, whether you know it or not. Even if you know him, he wants you to know him in a deeper way than you already do. And if you don't know him, he's standing at the door, knocking right now. There's a still small voice in you right now, and that's God, the Holy Spirit. He's reaching out to you. Will you answer the call, please? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in you right now. That's a miracle. And not only did the Magi have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but they had the message of the Scripture. You know, over in Matthew chapter 2, I read verses 1 through 11 or 12, and in verses 2 through 6, we saw that Herod the king gathered all the chief priests and scribes, and he demanded them of them where Jesus would be born. And he said, and the chief priests and scribes said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for that is written by the prophet. So that's how the Magi knew, by the Scriptures, for it was written by the prophet. The Bible foretold his coming. The Magi studied the Scriptures, so they knew. Micah 5, verse 2 says that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And the prophecies from Daniel told them when the Messiah would come. Read Daniel chapter 9. These are remarkable, wonderful, undeniable prophecies of the first coming of Jesus. So if you truly want to find Jesus this Christmas, trust the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus stands there and knocks, I'm telling you. Or if he's already in your life, he's saying, come into me more, come into me more. And then go to the message of the Scriptures. So open your Bibles and read them. You know, many in the religious community missed his first coming because they didn't read, believe, and obey the Scriptures. Remember, there's no evidence in these stories that either the scribes or the priests went to worship Jesus, only the Magi and the shepherds who were called by the angel in the light of the Lord. You know, there's this paradox in the religious world, and I call it the paradox of the unbelieving believer. You know, they're alive and well today, just as they were back then. You know, back then, they were found in the synagogues and the temple, and today, we find them in many of our churches, the unbelieving believer. Back then, they missed his first coming, and today, I'm telling you, they're going to miss his second coming. And why? Because they're not reading their Bibles, practicing righteousness, and looking up for the signs. So the Scriptures clearly and plainly foretold of his first coming, and the Scriptures clearly and plainly foretell of his second coming. But they're not listening to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the message of the Scriptures in the churches today. And let's not forget the miracle of the star. The Shekinah glory of God led them step by step. Isn't that exciting? So are you thinking, well, I'm going to tell you what. If the Shekinah glory of God appears to me, then I'll follow Jesus. Whoa, 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 be careful there. God knew it was necessary for these people in this day at that time to have his Shekinah glory revealed to them. God knew that. But my point is that when you set your heart to find Jesus, when you want to know him in a deeper way, whatever it takes, whatever is necessary, God will get that to you so you know him in a deeper way. Now, I'm not sure what the miracle of the star may be for you. It's most likely going to be some other kind of miracle. Maybe God will send a messenger to you. Maybe it's this very message right now, or maybe it's that neighbor of yours that's been urging you to take this book and read this book about Jesus. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what message God's going to send you, but God will God will reveal his glory to you if you diligently seek more of his face. Now, if you don't want more of the Lord, I'm telling you, God's not going to lead you, and God's not going to guide you. Like I said, I don't see any record in the Scriptures saying the star appeared to Herod or the scribes or the priests. You know, some people can't find God for the same reason a bank robber can't find a cop. They're simply not looking for him. They don't want to know more about Jesus, so they don't seek out after God. I'm telling you from personal experience, if you get serious about seeking God, he will reveal himself to you, however it's necessary. So the point is, if you want him more deeply, you can know him more deeply. You really can. So this is how the Magi sought after him. Now let's dive into what they brought him. Because, you know, they sought him, and then they brought him some incredible gifts. In verse 11, it says they brought him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So was this verse an accident? No, it's fundamental. There's no verse in the Bible that's a mere incident. So why these three gifts? Well, the Lord has hidden deep, deep meanings in his word for those who fear him and diligently seek him. Psalms 25 verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Praise Jesus. Now remember, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, including this verse. So these gifts were important. And we're going to see that they prove that Jesus deserves our wealth, our worship, and our witness. Praise God. First, let's look at the gold. You know, gold represents his sovereign dominion. In verse 2 it reads, where is he who is born king of the Jews? And in verse 6 it reads, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So it's obvious to the Magi that this child Jesus was that king of kings. Oh, praise God. I just love that song that we open these messages with. So if you want wisdom from Christmas, worship the king. He is king of kings and lord of lords. You know, gold's used to make crowns for kings, and the Bible speaks of the crowns of gold over in Revelation 4:4. And Daniel said that the Messiah would be king. Read Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And then Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. So they knew this little baby Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm telling you, you will never know the true joy of Christmas until you crown him king. Have you done that? The angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. So when you deal with Jesus, you're dealing with the sovereignty of the Most High God, and he is worthy of our tribute. I'm telling him. You know, we pay tribute to the earthly rulers all the time. And you know, I call them the establishment, the sons of Belial, you know, the Illuminati. We do. And today we call it taxes. And whatever you want to call it, right or wrong, good or bad, it's tribute. And remember the scripture that Jesus spoke, and he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. So have you rendered to Jesus the things that are his? Do you realize that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Have you taken the crown from your head and put that crown upon his head? Have you said to the Lord Jesus, I surrender my gold to you. I pay tribute to you, Lord Jesus. I do my homage to you, Lord Jesus. I bow my knee to you, Lord Jesus. Have you done that? Seriously, have you done that? I'm telling you that in everyone's heart there's a throne. And when self is sitting on that throne, Jesus Christ is still up on the cross. But when Christ is on that throne in your heart, self is put up on the cross. Everybody in the world today is in one of those two situations. Where are you? You know, when Matthew wrote this gospel, he realized that the Magi were wise men because they recognized the sovereignty, the sovereign dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked, where is he that was born King of the Jews? You know, like the opening song in this show says every single week, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise Jesus. But not only did they bring him gold, they also brought him frankincense. Now, what's frankincense? You know, well this particular fragrant material speaks of his witness to the sinless deity of his person, the very being of Jesus Christ, the sinless deity of the king. So not only was he king, but this shows that he is literally the Almighty God. From verse 11, I'm going to read it again. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, than frankincense and myrrh. You know, frankincense is one of the ingredients used in the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament. It has only one, and I'm telling you, only one purpose, to worship God. God said in Exodus chapter 30, verses 37 and 38, that it's not to be used for any other purpose. So not only did these magi surrender their wealth to Jesus the King, they worshiped him as God. The Bible tells us we're only to worship God. Matthew 2, verse 11 clearly says they worshiped him. So if that child wasn't God, this was an act of blasphemy. If Jesus isn't God, he enticed so many other people into idolatry in the stories in the Gospels. You know, there's that story over in John chapter 9, verse 38, where the blind man was healed by Jesus. And then he realized who Jesus was. He fell to his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus accepted that worship. Remember, you can have no other gods before him. And then in the book of Revelation, remember when the angel appeared to John? That angel was so awesome, so glorious. John was struck with awe, and he fell on his face before him to worship him. But the angel said, whoa, wait, get up. Don't worship me. Worship God. So the next time one of those Jehovah's false witnesses comes and knocks on your door, ask them this question. Just ask them this. You'll be nice to them, but ask them, do you worship Jesus? And they'll say, no, we worship. We worship God, but we venerate Jesus. Then ask them again. I didn't ask you if you venerated Jesus. I asked you if you worship Jesus. Now, if you want to get them stuttering and stammering and all tongue-tied, and the purpose here is to convict them to repentance and to convict them to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, well, if you do, what you'll see is that this question, do you worship Jesus, gets them stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, here's the point. If Jesus isn't God and they claim they do worship him, and some of them will cave and say, and I know because I do this every time they come to the door, they'll cave and they'll say, yeah, we worship Jesus. Then you go on and you say, well, if you worship Jesus, do you recognize him as the Most High God? And then they'll say no. And then you'll say, well, Jesus was worshipped in the Bible. And the Bible says you worship none other than the Most High God. So what are you doing? The point is either he's God or he's not. And the Bible clearly says that Jesus is God. Yet the Jehovah Witnesses, they deny it. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that last verse is key. The Father and the Son means they're one. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So when these wise men, the Magi, brought frankincense, they were affirming the scriptures and how they declared that Jesus is Lord. Wow, you know, it's so exciting to see these things. So by their gift of gold, they expressed his sovereign dominion, and by their gift of frankincense, they expressed his sinless deity. I'm telling you, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if there's a message to be preached, this is it. You know, even the Muslims believe Jesus was a prophet. But they deny he is Lord and Savior. And Paul told Timothy in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So you're never going to really know Christmas and the mystery and the joy of Christmas until you see his sovereign dominion and sinless deity. Now, we're going to end this message in a few minutes after it goes to archive with a Christmas song that says, Jesus, joy of the highest heavens. Well, Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wow, praise God. And I'm telling you, not only did the Magi bring him gold and frankincense, but they also brought him myrrh. Yet that's a bitter herb, and it dulls pain. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross for our sins, he was offered myrrh mixed with wine to drink to deaden the pain. And Mark 15:23 says that they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. He didn't want that pain deadened. And it was also used to embalm the dead. They used it to embalm Jesus. Look at John chapter 19, verse 39. So it's rather strange to bring a gift like that to a baby, isn't it? Unless they knew, or God moved upon them to do it. So whether they knew or not, the Holy Spirit was working here. So the myrrh, it foretold of his sacrificial death. You know, this baby was born to die for us. Wow, praise Jesus. You know, today we make so much Christmas in this culture. The food, the trees, the lights, the merriment. Everyone loves the baby Jesus. Everyone. But did you know there's no record in the Bible that the early church even celebrated his birthday? Now, the early church did celebrate his death and resurrection through the Lord's Supper. But I'm telling you, you can see how carnal a person is. And here's a really surefire test. It's real simple. Real, real simple. The more they make of his birth and the less they make of his death defines their degree of carnality. You know, they love the cradle, but they hate the cross. And I'm telling you, that same giddy Christmas crowd dancing around the cradle on Christmas Eve will be drunk on New Year's Eve, singing in the New Year's. Why? Because they don't see this baby, the baby Jesus, as sovereign king. They don't see him as sinless deity, and they don't see him as the sacrificial Savior who died for our sins on the cross. So do you want to worship Jesus with the wisdom of the Magi this Christmas? Then thank God that this baby was born to die. Praise Jesus. Jesus Christ was the only one who ever chose to die. No man has ever chosen to die. Even the suicide bombers, they didn't choose to die. They only chose when to die. The point is we're all going to die. All of us are going to die unless Jesus comes back first. Now here's a new statistic on death. Get this one. 1 out of 1 people die. You're going to die. I'm going to die unless Jesus comes back first. So how near is eternity? Well, it's closer than you think. It's one heartbeat away, I'm telling you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So Jesus was the only one who has ever chosen to die. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down myself. He knew. He knew he didn't have to die because there was no sin in him. The Bible teaches that the wage of sin is death. So Jesus didn't have to die. He willingly, voluntarily, vicariously laid down his life on the cross for you and me. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down myself. You know, his faith in the plan forged by him and his Father and the Holy Spirit before the foundations of the earth, that saved us. Read Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 in the King James Bible. And you're going to see it's not your faith that saved you, but his faith. So the baby Jesus was born to die. He was born a naked baby, and he died a naked man upon that cross for our sins. My dear Savior, stripped of his clothing, stripped of his dignity, his honor, nailed to that cross, naked in excruciating physical and spiritual pain, he died for me. He died for you. And I'm telling you, from the time he was a child, he had the shadow of that cross upon him. So do you want to be wise this Christmas? Then be like the Magi, both in the way they sought him and what they brought him. The gold tells me my wealth belongs to Jesus. So don't get the idea you've done him a wild favor if you give him a dime out of every dollar. The truth is the whole dollar is his. He just gives it to us to use. It's all his. It's all about him. You believe that? That's the truth. It is all his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the point is your wealth belongs to him. Now, if that turns you off, don't be surprised, because it turned a rich man off once, and he went away sorrowful. You know, remember, and don't forget, Jesus is King of Kings. He's sovereign, so your wealth belongs to him. And wait, there's more. He's God, so your worship belongs to him. You need to fall on your face before him. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So receive him as your Lord. And the third thing, he's Savior. So witness of him to others. Your witness belongs to him. You need to receive him and then go out and tell the mountains. Let everybody know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if you believe what we're supposed to believe as Christmas, as Christians, then this Christmas message should be shouted from the housetop. to all in this lost and fallen world. I'm telling you, these are dark and dangerous days. So go out and tell the world there's a Savior born. It's Christ the Lord. You know, then it's going to be a wise and joyful Christmas for you. Go out and seek him the way the Magi sought him and bring to him what they brought him. Recognize who he is and say, Lord, my wealth, my worship, my witness, it's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. With every inch of my being, every ounce of my being, every nerve, every fiber in my very being, with all of me, Jesus, I worship you as Lord. You know, we serve an awesome Savior, don't we? His commandments, they aren't grievous. They're blessings when we abide. You know, he is your Lord. Is he your Lord today? If not, declare that for all to hear. You know, declare it. Just fall on your knees and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior today. And if you're afraid of doing that and you might be embarrassed, don't. Don't be embarrassed. And I'm telling you, if you do, you'll experience the full joy of Christmas. And then go out and seek him as they sought him, so you know him in a more deep way. And bring him what they brought him. Give Jesus your wealth, your worship, your witness. It's all him. It's all about him. And that's what it means to be living his saving faith. And you know what I say, F-A-I-T-H. That's wisely declaring, forsaking all, I trust him. Now, I love y'all. Go out and let his light shine for all to see on this joyous of times. Merry Christmas.
This next song is a carol specially for children. It's called Jesus, Joy of the Highest Heaven.
Child of God.
Merry Christmas, everyone.